RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at Cabela's.com.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are tipping our hats to all you folks who just completed your first camping season. We get emails all the time from listeners who just bought their first RV, and we decided to invite one of those newbies onto the show.
Neil Potter, an RV FTA listener from Oregon, bought his first travel trailer last fall and agreed to come on the show and talk about the highs and lows of his family's rookie year. Listen to hear why they decided to buy an RV and whether they love it as much as they thought they would.
You might think you are the only one at the campground who doesn't know what to do with that sewer hose hanging out of your RV bumper, but we know that there are lots of brave campers figuring out the ropes. You are listening to episode 117, Dispatches from an RV Newbie.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Dispatches from an RV Newbie, we have our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. They offer a wide range of products, but if you are an RV newbie, Thetford has you covered with the basics. So today we're talking about stocking up, right? And there's two items that are from Thetford that we have been stocking in our RVs since the very first trip where we bought our camper, right, Jer?
Oh, we are like dedicated Aquasoft toilet tissue
right.
users.
We are, right? Okay,
and so in fact, we ran out at Cherry Hill this past weekend in Washington, D.C., and I had to run over to the camp store, and they had the Aquasoft.
Well, I wasn't stocking the camper because it was our last trip, and we had one roll of toilet paper left. So you would think that we could make it through, but what happened? Go ahead, say it.
Wesley dropped a brand new fresh roll of toilet paper into the toilet.
On the very first night.
On the very first night. And it was late at that point. The camp store was closed, so we had to make do. And I tried to unwrap the wet toilet paper from the outer rim to get to the dry stuff.
No, didn't work.
Yeah. So the next morning, I went and stocked up on some Aquasoft.
And it was actually Aquasoft from the camp store. So the Aquasoft toilet tissue, you might say, like, oh, well, what's the difference between RV toilet tissue and just whatever you can buy in the store? But this toilet tissue is actually designed to rapidly dissolve and prevent clogging in RV systems. And we've just always preferred to use the recommended product, right? Like for our RV,
we've never had a clog in the toilet. In our RV, there's always someone in the toilet. There's always someone in the bathroom.
All of our listeners know how I feel about toilet talk.
We just rotate. Well, the boys just rotate through the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like my turn. Okay.
And you know the other thing I got to say? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Like our older boys use so much toilet paper. Like it's like there's like a full roll and then one of them goes and you go in and there's like a half roll.
Okay, this started out as a sponsored message from Thetford and now we've like devolved into like our like confessions, right?
We've never talked about RV toilet paper.
No, we haven't. This is a new topic for us. So then, but another thing that Thetford makes that we have literally had in our camper since day one of RV ownership.
Since pop-up camper
right,
days.
Right, is the Aquachem Tossens.
Okay, I've only used Aquachem Tossens. I've never just dumped the powder in like some people do in the packets. I always use the Tossens because to me, I just don't want the chemicals like getting on my hands. So the Tossens are really clean and easy. And you like that we can get the unscented.
Yeah. So these are water-soluble packets and they dissolve fast and they help keep your tanks clean and odor-free. Now, I like the like scent free ones that don't have that.
Stephanie has to deal with enough scents in her life.
And I have to say that we are like odor free, except for the ones that just my boys create.
Now they offer different scents, and but, I think right. we're going to get some samples and we're going to sniff all of them. And we're going to decide. Like we'll do a sniff off on these.
I'm one of those boring people that does like no scent everything, but you know.
We'll so look, see. When you're in the camp store, look for your Thetford products.
All right, yeah, stock up if you're an RV newbie. Okay, so now we are recording this episode a little bit in advance, not too much, but a few days in advance, our news roundup, because I am leaving on a jet plane.
Leaving on a jet plane.
All right, and I do know when I'm going to be back again, and so do you, probably
she
to the
knows
minute.
When she'll be back. I told her if she shows up back home and the boys are alive – and they're safe.
Yeah.
She can't complain about
it.
No, anything
you said
else.
It's a victory. That's what you said. It's a victory.
She took this homemade pizza dough, and she's like, well, if you want to make them pizza. I was like, what are you talking about? I have the phone number to order pizza if I want pizza.
Okay.
You actually thought I would make homemade pizza this week.
There is nothing easier. It's like the crust, the sauce, and the cheese.
Stop it. I don't want to hear about it.
All right, yeah.
If you're going to the Louisville Trade Show, I'm ordering takeout with the boys.
So, folks, now you know how it's going on around here. So, anyway, I'm going to the RVIA show in Louisville. This is not a show that is open to the public. It is an industry-only event, and I'm going to cover the show as press to bring you guys the stories and to bring you guys all the information on the newest, you know, RVs that are coming out, but also the newest
all the
products.
New stuff is there for the mm-hmm. dealers to order from the manufacturers. And Stephanie's going to get to walk the floor and check out everything that's going to be new next year.
Yeah, and if you were listening last year, you know that we came back with a lot of interviews with people from different manufacturers and different vendors and everything. So, you know, it's just a really interesting place to get a lot of insight into what's going on in the 2017
season. What's coming up next.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm encouraging Stephanie to post a lot of photos from the show as she sees kind of new and exciting rigs. I'm hoping she's putting up 2 to 3 posts a day at least to show us what's there, since we can't go. I can't go and you guys can't go because it's not open to the consumer. So Stephanie will be getting some photos for us of the coolest, newest RVs out there.
I will. And I'll be doing some, we'll have some posts coming out from of the different rigs. And then also, if you follow us on Instagram, you know they have that stories feature. I will do Instagram stories of interiors. Now, they're only available for 24 hours. So if you want to see, I will show you what is there. And I will do little stories all throughout the day. If you are one of those people that loves to just see inside the trailers, definitely follow along there because they poof, disappear.
Yeah, and I like the idea that you would do the interiors mm-hmm. too, right? Because you can take
that's something that a lot of people,
inside.
Yeah, that a lot of people really like to see. They like
give
to see
some
the layouts,
quick
I understand
tours.
That. So I'll just do like a lot of quick little Instagram stories on the interiors.
Yeah, and I think everyone out there trusts us to find what's new, what's exciting, what's unusual. You know, we want to pass by the standard fare. And
yeah,
and see
we've
what's
already got some
hot.
Stuff lined up. It's exciting, and we're going into RV shopping season. And everybody who listens to this show knows we do a lot more travel in the summer, travel related content in the summer, and we do a lot of one-on-one stuff in the fall and in the spring because that's when people are doing, you know, different kinds of like camping. And then in the winter, a lot of the time it's a lot of RV shopping education, so we're
putting
kind of entering into that season
back onto the pulse of the industry, which in one of our iTunes reviews somebody said we have our fingers on the pulse. Of the industry.
And I want to say that it's going to be, you know, people can look forward to more pros and cons. I know that pros and cons episodes are very popular for our listeners, those sort of educational episodes. So you need to know that it's coming and I'm there to do a lot of recon, right, on those episodes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of work lined up for you. So
okay.
She'll be there all week and you can follow along on her adventures there on Instagram.
Now, also, another thing I want to point people to is that episode number 60 of Girl Camper this week, we did our gear guide, our gift guide, I should say, our holiday gift guide last week, okay, on this episode. Check it out if you didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. We had tons of good, great holiday gifts. Now, Girl Camper went to Cabela's this past weekend with her Mr. Sister Rick. Okay, so Janine and Rick went down to the Cabela's.
They went to Delaware.
Yeah, and what they did was they pulled together an episode where they basically did like a wish list kind of a thing, like things that Janine saw that she really would like to try out and things that Rick saw. So, you know, for the Girl Camper and the Mr. Sister. So that's a fun show. If you want to tune into that, you'd probably get more gift ideas.
Yeah, definitely more. more gift ideas from Cabela's. And we know our podcast listeners love Cabela's like we do.
All right. Now, we are still raising money to try to buy our trailer for the Tents for Troops.
Not to try.
No, we are going to. And we will harass you until we do, okay? So the RV loaner program with Tents for Troops, we want to get that $10,000. We are $5,000 towards
just
our goal.
We've stalled.
Yeah.
We have stalled. I mean, we got a
rush. We got everybody to donate that's going to donate. We feel like everybody was like, okay, everybody that's the type to be like, oh, yeah, let me donate to that. And now we need the rest of you to step
we
up.
We need the rest of you to step up. And we have $5,000 raised towards a $10,000 goal to buy an RV for active duty military families to enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's just so close. It's like, it's torture. Like,
right.
We need to get there.
Especially when you consider the percentage, probably like, I would say maybe 2% of our listeners. Like, it's such a small percentage
of
our listeners.
Of the people out there listening have donated.
That actually donated. So we're like, oh, if we could just get those other listeners that we know are there to do it, then we'd be good to go.
So you want to donate at GoFundMe.com/RVFTA or visit RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And there's a direct link right there at the top of the page. And you can see how much we've raised. So we really need more donations to come in.
Yeah. So another big thank you to Cabela's for sponsoring RV Family Travel Atlas. We're going to meet our first fellow pro staff member at the RVIA.
And hopefully get an interview.
Yeah, we're going to try to arrange that, but I get to meet one of their bass, fishing pros there. And so I'm excited about that. Cabela's is really passionate about supporting families in the outdoors, and they have all the gear that you need to make camping fun and comfortable. Some of the best moments of our lives are spent around a crackling campfire, sitting beside family and friends. Visit Cabela's.com and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
It's in my nature, too.
Yeah, and they've got tons of good holiday specials online right now. So definitely check them out if you're shopping.
We're going to come back in a second with our featured topic, which is dispatches from an RV newbie. This is important, I think, to Stephanie and I, because we know that so many of our podcast listeners are finding us in their research stage. And, we're 2 years into this podcast, and we're veteran RVers at this point. We're 7 years in, approaching 8 years in. But we always want to keep in touch with the RV newbie and the person that's struggling to make the purchase and thinking through this big purchase, because we know you're out there listening, for one thing.
Not just that, but that was also the initial inspiration for us starting this show. We were like, hey, there was no resource out there for us when we didn't know what the heck we were doing. And we were like, let's do that. Let's try to help, younger RVers who don't grow up doing it and everything. Let's get them into it. And that was like an inspiration for doing what we do. So
we always want to keep in touch with that first time buyer. I mean, absolutely. So this is a great featured segment from Neil Potter, who's really smart and interesting and has just gone on that journey that so many of you out there have either gone on recently or want to go on, that first-time RV purchase and that first camping season. So we'll be back in a second to talk to Neil Potter, the RV newbie. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into this week's featured topic, dispatches from an RV newbie, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance, and they're not newbies when it comes to the RV game, are they?
No, but they're there for you if you are a newbie, right? All right. When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, which is optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting Progressive.com/RV, because we're going to talk about some people getting new RVs in this show. So,
yeah, Stephanie and I are getting like old and crusty, and we've been RVing now for like 7 years. And we know that so many people out in our audience are people that are in the researching stage. And we never want to lose touch with that, right?
Because
we know that's important to the people listening. So we wanted to have Neil Potter on, who we've gotten to know a little bit back and forth from some emails, to talk about his first year as an RVer, because we know a little bit about his journey and his adventure, and it's pretty darn interesting. So welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me be on the show.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. And we first, I'll say, met you, but it was really just some email correspondence last January when you sent us our favorite type of email to get. You sent us the email saying, I did it. I bought my RV. Thank you so much for your help in the journey. And you also sent us along some adorable pictures of
super cute family.
Family.
I forgot about that until you said it.
Thank you.
Yeah, the pictures always, you know, they
it's like if the
help
RV
it.
Industry could like hire a family. You know.
Yeah, you're a good one for that. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Do you mind if I read the email to start off the segment?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
All right, so Neil wrote us, hello from Oregon. Just a quick email to let you know that you and your podcast helped us quite a bit in the purchase of our first travel trailer. Well, the new job with pay raise helped more. We wanted a Lance, but my wallet could afford the Jayco 23BHM. My family of four loves the bunks in the back and the Murphy Queen. We took our first trip from Portland to the Oregon coast a few weeks ago. Now remember, people, this was in January. It was a disaster, mainly because Mother Nature decided to strand us on the coast for an extra day. Anyhow, thanks so much for all the time and effort you put into this stuff. I can honestly say that you guys helped me pull the trigger on something I've wanted to do for years. Keep up the great work. Note, I'd love more Oregon or Pacific Northwest content out of your network of podcasts. Oregon is camping central. And we know, Neil, and we tried to respond. So, you know, we were thinking about doing an episode, you know, about like the RV newbie and that first camping season and all the lessons learned. Our memory is getting a little, you know, stale on that. And so we remembered your email and we said, we need to give Neil a ring. He's been camping for about 1 year now, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did because, you know, like I said in the email, prior to buying my RV, I did a search in iTunes and I just put in family and RV, expecting fully to not receive anything. And sure enough, there you guys popped up. And I thought it was crazy that there's actually a podcast dedicated to this, right? Because I needed to know, hey, you know, am I the right candidate to buy an RV? I've got this family, I've got these young kids. And at the time, my daughter was 5 and my son was 4 months old. And so, so yeah, I listened to you guys for a couple months actually, and finally, I feel like you guys were you know, in conjunction with doing my own research and YouTube. I mean, there's so many outlets out there, but I finally felt enabled to make the sales pitch to my wife, which is really what it boils down to. Right?
So we enabled you.
Yeah,
you did.
We've been accused of that before. Well, you know, Neil, back up a little bit because we don't really know what led you even to the part where you were researching RVs. Sure. We're really clueless on this part of your history. So, did you grow up camping and kind of want to return to your roots, or what kind of tripped this off?
Yeah. Although I live in Oregon now, we've only lived out here for 6 years now. Both my wife and I, born and raised in Florida, and I grew up over on the East Coast. And my parents would always take me up to North Carolina to do a really cool camping trip every year, where we'd go tubing and Bryson City, a place called Deep Creek. And I just had an awesome time doing it, and we did it so often that it kind of became second nature to me, right? Just doing the campground and the tent camping and everything. And here we are, you know, 20, 30-something years later, and my wife did not do any of that. You know, her parents, they did other things for fun. They went to the beach, et cetera, but they didn't grow up camping. And then, you know, I wanted to get that camping feeling here with my own family. And so, you know, just I needed to pick something that was in between camping, like tent camping, and something a little bit more luxurious, just because I know
couldn't sell your wife on the tent. Was that really one of the initial things? Like, I want to get into the campground, but I don't think she's going to want to be in a tent.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, I grew up doing even primitive camping. There was a really neat camping trip where we actually packed up our canoes filled with turkeys for turkey dinner, and we actually went canoeing on the Suwannee River in Florida for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, and we would just find a place to camp, and that's what I was used to. You know, so I knew that I couldn't sell my wife on primitive camping. And plus, we've got these young kids, and I didn't really want to do primitive camping with young kids, right? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
RVs are much nicer. So anyway, that was
my tent camper plan. That has the first kid is the prime customer for the RV industry, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Neil, listening to your story, I feel like we hear that so often when we talk to people who have recently bought RVs. They say one of us had the experience from childhood and one of us didn't. And it's like a sales pitch going on. Yeah. And I feel like that's a recurring story. You know, do you mind saying, like, what were her objections? Like, what did you have to overcome?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously there's the price. I mean, there's a good bit of money that you're throwing at something that, at least in my wife's mind, she wasn't sure if we'd use that often, right? And that's a totally legitimate concern. You know, I mean, here we are going from never camping, and here I'm saying, trust me, camping is going to be great, and it's going to bring our family together. And she just has to kind of trust me because she doesn't have any experience.
Yeah, 20 grand later, we'll be having a great time, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, and plus, there's also the, you know, we could also just rent a house on the coast, and we could stay at a house, or we could rent this, and that's very true, right? That's also another thing. I mean, you know, you can pay for a luxurious house on the coast, and you can do it that way. It's one way to vacation.
And, it's okay. So price and alternatives. You know, like I think that those are two probably the most important kind of obstacles, or you know, just issues to talk through when you're deciding whether to leap into this or not.
Yeah, I mean, then there's the logistics too, right? I mean, where are you going to store the thing? That's something that that new folks who are new to the RV world, or at least researching an RV, they have to consider that, right? That's part of the price that a lot of people don't take into consideration. It's really easy to take the price of an RV and break it out into monthly payments and figure out, hey, can I actually afford this thing? But don't forget, you got to store the place. You got to store the RV someplace, right? And so those logistics come into play as well. We're lucky enough to where we happen to have in our neighborhood, there's an RV storage, a gated RV storage. So it really helped with my sales pitch. I mean, ideally, if you can keep it at your own home, I think that's even better because it's right there in front of your house and you can go in and out whenever you want. But so anyway, you're right. Those things that you mentioned, plus just the logistics of owning an RV and you know, well, and the vehicle.
And it's smart to ask about, you know, hidden costs. And Stephanie and I tend to say, well, there's not too many with the travel trailer. We haven't discovered too many secret hidden costs. But, you know, then people with motorhomes do talk a lot about how there are just a lot of costs you don't think about when you're researching.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's true. There's a lot of costs that you're not aware of. Unless you really do the research. The good thing is that there's plenty of outlets out there to do the research, right? So nothing was a big surprise to us when we actually sat down and signed the paperwork for our RV.
Now, I mean, you know, you did kind of give us a little bit of a pat on the back there and say that you used our podcast a lot for research, but what were some of the other things that really helped you? I mean, you know, were you just pouring through YouTube like a lot of people do, walkthroughs, that type of thing?
I'd have to say YouTube was my number one resource. There's just so many YouTube videos out there, so many channels, so many users who were in the same boat that I was in, people who had just bought their RV and then would walk you do a walkthrough of their RVs. So honestly, YouTube was my number one source. Plus, GoRVing.com made it really easy for me. I mean, they've got some really great tools on there to help you offset the costs in your mind, right? So as a new RV buyer, it's hard to look past this giant cost of an RV when it comes to travel. And so they help break it down. And they say, okay, let's say, you know, you go on a trip to San Francisco and you plan to bring, you know, three kids and blah, blah, blah. And they break it down by price. And then they equate that to somebody who has an RV and, you know, the cost of going out to dinner versus making your own dinner. And they really break it down and they made it so that the pill is much smaller to swallow, really.
We should say that we do work with GoRVing, but that was not a plug, right, Neil?
Well, that website is really made to meet you at that point. And, man, I can give them all the credit in the world for our own RV journey, too, because – you know, for us, it was 7 or 8 years ago, and I'm sure there were a lot of resources out there, but I just wasn't aware of that many. And I really heavily leaned on that website, on that GoRVing.com website to kind of educate myself.
Yeah, yeah, that was really helpful. And they, like I said, they break it down in a way to make it so that it was really easy for me to say, you know, hey, Melissa, take a look at this. This is the apples to apples comparison of cost, because that's what happens. You know, when you're looking at the cost of an RV, you're looking at the full cost of the RV. And so you're really comparing apples to oranges in that scenario. So they really break it down so that you're seeing an apples to apples vacation by vacation cost.
That's a great point, right? I mean, you're looking at the price of the RV, and that can seem overwhelming because you're looking at the total price of ownership. You know, under 20,000, over 20,000. You know, a lot of first time buyers fall into that territory, but then you're not thinking about the fact that that's going to give you many vacations, and that's not the full cost of those many vacations. But when you start looking at other vacations, it can cost you $3,000 or $4,000 a pop. Mm-hmm. It starts to seem a little bit more affordable, I guess.
It does, and it seems, you know, I think a common mistake somebody can do, because I did the exact same thing, is you take the cost of the RV and you divide that out amongst how many trips you plan to take each year, and you're going to get this really expensive per trip cost if you do it that way, right? If it's really, you break it down backwards and you say, hey, you know what, this is what it would cost if I were to take my family to Disney, if I were to fly there and stay in a hotel and pay for food every night at a restaurant and versus if we were to go and stay, you know, drive down there and stay at a local campground and cook our own food and that kind of thing. So
right,
anyway.
There's a lot of hidden cost savings that you discover. A lot of the time you don't even discover them until after your RV, when you realize, oh yeah, we really don't buy even like just water. Like whenever we're staying in a hotel, I'm just purchasing bottles of water from sunrise to sunset. I feel
you're absolutely
and
right.
You just don't do that when you're in your RV. You got your 2.5 gallon, you know, spring water and your filter on your tap, you know, whatever, right. You're good to go. So,
well, and that's the tangible costs too, though, Stephanie. I mean, you also have to take into consideration the intangible costs of how much pride you have of owning your own RV and having your family in the RV and everything, right? And you can't put a dollar figure on that.
Neil,
that's all intangible.
Is a robot who was designed by the RV industry.
He's got his messaging.
You know what,
down.
Though? You know what? And I don't know if this is a man thing or not. Stephanie, you can correct me or tell me I'm being silly. You know, I was very proud of that pop-up camper when I brought that first pop-up camper home.
Are.
Boy, did I feel like I was driving home a Cadillac or something.
Yeah.
I was smiling from ear to ear for weeks.
And I think it does give that sense of almost like your second home kind of a thing. Like, it's not a second home, but you kind of feel like you just bought your second home. Like,
I want to show all my friends the thing. And some of them are like, okay, that's really nice. And then other ones were interested. But
yeah,
Jeremy, you know, I guarantee you've done the same thing where you got it all hitched up and everything's loaded and you're ready to do your trip, and you walk away from your rig and you turn around and you look at everything all hitched up and loaded.
There's
up.
Little,
it just looks cool, right?
I mean, sparkle like on the side of the rig,
exactly.
Chrome shining on the truck.
Exactly. I've never done that to a hotel as I've walked away from the hotel.
That's totally
it.
True. Totally true. Well, we hate hotels. So any other resources, or shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
He's like,
so,
yeah, YouTube.
You know, you did a ton of research and preparation. You know, we're getting that sense from you that this was a real journey, sort of almost like intellectually. So what went as expected, and then what didn't go as expected?
Yeah, so what goes as expected is that, you know, you have to practice. You got to practice in order to really get to where, you know, when it comes to the towing and the hitching and all that stuff. You know, I'm a guy who had no experience with RVs whatsoever. Growing up, like I said, tent camping, even where we camped was not near RVs, right? So I didn't even see people using them. So it was all completely new to me. So as I expected, you got to practice that stuff, right? I can't stress enough the idea of you know, practice parking, practice backing. You know, go to a school and that has an empty parking lot and back in and out and back in and out, and you know, it just you got to do that stuff, because you know, that first time especially during the busy season of summer when you go to do your first back-end site at a campground, right, you get nervous. And
it's flying kinda, by on bicycles. There's a guy with a beer in his hand who's just like watching you like you're Casablanca or something,
right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
And I think a lot of the first-time buyers, there's like a lot of anxiety about bringing your rig to the campground for the first time. So I think that kind of – I never did that.
Well, and – no, we didn't. We didn't do any really practice. Didn't. And I think then we experienced what a lot of newbies do experience, and Neil's offering really solid advice here, because what happens is you don't actually experience as much of the joy of camping because you're doing all of that on your first camping trip. You know, instead, if you spend a little time prepping, like Neil's suggesting, your first camping trip is going to feel more like a camping trip and less like, I don't know, like this really awful crash course in towing.
I think that for most people, it's still going to feel like the crash course. You got to get over that.
You got to get through it. I mean, especially the towing aspect of it, right? I mean, again, I was brand new to towing. I had never even towed anything, right? So to imagine that all of a sudden I'm going to strap 6,500 pounds onto the back of my truck and know how to do it right off the bat is you know, that's kind of crazy. You have to practice that. And so, and again, that's where YouTube was really helpful, just, you know, learning how to tow and watching other people, you know, learning the capabilities of your vehicle. Which, by the way, I wanted to throw out there real quick, just a little tidbit about learning to tow. Any of you new RVers or people who are looking to buy an RV, really take into consideration and do your research on the towing capacities. And I know you guys have talked about this on your podcast a lot, but do the research on the towing capacities. And one thing to take into consideration is not just how much a truck can tow, but consider how much the actual tow vehicle weighs, because eventually you have to stop the weight that's behind you, right? So I won't go into all the details, but I had a situation where when I bought my RV, I had a Toyota Tacoma, because technically it can tow it. Now I have a Toyota Tundra, and that's it has a lot to do with the fact that when I wanted to stop the RV, you know.
That technically, that word is such a pivotal word for anybody who are doing the research, because the numbers can all say it's okay.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But that becomes meaningless if you're towing and it doesn't feel safe. Then who cares what the numbers said? You know,
exactly.
If it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
And that falls into the what didn't I expect, you know? And you know what? I'll admit, and I know my wife is going to hear this podcast eventually, but I'll admit that I think that I kind of sold myself. I mean, you know, I looked at the numbers, and the numbers said, yep, that Toyota Tacoma can pull that 6,500-pound or really it's 6,000-pound RV. That wasn't a very smart decision, quite honestly, because as you go around and you look, you know, at campgrounds, do you see a lot of Tacomas towing 6,000-pound RVs? No, you don't, right? And there's a reason for that. So I think
I bet you were heartbroken to get a new truck, Neil. I'm sure it was just devastating to you.
Yeah, I'm still very sad about that.
He's not. He knows that Melissa's going to listen to this podcast. So what he's not doing is saying that it was all part of the plan. But
that's the plan. That's a
couple ones. I'm sure it wasn't.
The Tundra was all picked out.
It was just a newbie, you know, just a newbie oversight. But you know what? It's very important that you bring that up too. That's, I mean, you're just hitting, I think, all of the really, you know, primary factors that weigh into your experience your first year. Does your tow vehicle really suit the RV that you purchased? It's important.
Yep, it really is. So anyway, that falls into the I didn't expect that category. But, you know, just kids love it. That was expected. The kids, they love it. I mean, you know, especially the bunks. You know, my daughter's 6, my son is 1.5, and I mean, even all the neighborhood kids love the bunks, right? When I've got the rig out front, and I'm prepping for a trip. It's, you know, Daddy, can we play in the RV? You know, and yeah, you can play in the RV for a little bit. And so, I mean, it's just a blast, right? Just having the RV is a blast, and kids truly, truly enjoy it. It becomes this mobile play unit that they have, and you know, not everybody has bunks in their RV, but I will tell you, with kids love our bunks.
They
love
do.
Bunks,
they're very, right? Yeah, every kid that I hear that over and over, and I know it's true for ours. But so, you know, a year later, Do you think this has been everything that you hoped it would have been for your family in this first year?
Yes and no. So, yes, in that the trips that we've had have been great. One trip was a disaster. That was the first one. But you know what? That's a really good story, and it's a good memory. So I'm going to lump that into the, sure, that was a good trip.
tell us more, though, about this first disastrous trip.
So, okay. So I'll sum it up in that, you know, native Floridian, never saw snow, never saw frozen roads, move out to Oregon and buy an RV, never towed or anything. Well, I got to learn on my very first trip with the RV. We went from Portland, Oregon out to the coast, and you have to go over the pass. And I want to say it's 1500 feet at the highest point, but not too crazy. Well, anyway, we got this random freeze, and we didn't have a lot of cell service, and we had to get back to work on Monday. So Sunday we load everything up and we head up over the pass, and it was a disaster. I mean, I learned not only to tow on that trip, but I also learned how to drive on ice. and I also learned how to slide off the road with my family in the vehicle, and I feel stressed now even remembering it. Like it was a disaster.
This is therapeutic, and, Neil. This is part of why we wanted to have you on. Is we wanted to purge this for you.
Yeah, we ended up having to. There was no cell service, and we ended up having to dump the RV on the side of the road and head back out to the coast because it was too unsafe to drive, and we stayed an extra day out on the coast because we couldn't make it back over, actually. And so
did that make you doubt the purchase, or sort of be like, what did I do? You know, was this a big $20,000 mistake? You know, not that I know what you paid for your RV, and you don't need to say, but
he's just throwing numbers out there.
No, I'm looking at an average.
It's fine. I mean, it's not like RV prices are a mystery. So, but anyway, it partially did. I mean, what I did is I felt like I kind of let my family down because I was selling them this adventure that ended up being this, on this first trip, it ended up being pretty disastrous. And so I kind of felt guilty about the whole thing. But the reality is we've gone on so many trips throughout this summer that have completely made up for that. I mean, we've really, you know, as we get better at it every single trip that we go on, as my son, who I said is a year and a half now, as he gets older, it just becomes a lot easier. You know, I mean, he was 4 months old on that first trip, and it was so cold out and we couldn't keep him warm. And we, you know, just there was crying all night. And, you know, I mean, but it has gotten to a point now where that first trip is nothing but a really good story, quite honestly. And a really crazy memory. That's all it is. That's all it is. Now it's just now we love all of the trips that we go on. So anyway, is it everything that I wanted it to be? Yes and no. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out about that, guys, is that there is a season for RVing, at least out here in the Pacific Northwest, right?
There is here too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and so that is something to take into consideration, that that the RVing season is so popular for RVing. And so, you know, specifically, and I don't know how it is for every state, but I do know that in the state of Oregon, you can book state parks 9 months in advance. And when I first heard that, I thought, okay, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to get something. I assumed that meant that the best spots would fill up 9 months in advance. That's not true. Campgrounds fill up 9 months in advance out here because it's so popular. So if you look at a timeline, we bought our RV this last November, so November of 2015. Well, I didn't have any trips booked, right? So I had already missed my window to actually book all of the summer trips. So all of our summer trips this year, all the trips that we went on, they ended up being last minute and weekend trips, which still turned out great, and we got some good sights and everything, but you know, if you're aware of it on the front end, you can book that stuff ahead of time and really make the most out of your RV season, whatever
yeah,
that is.
That's such a good point.
It's a great point. And I think that, not to put too much on, you know, the RV dealer, but I feel like that when we do buy our RVs, there's no education at that point of purchase about where to take them and how to take them there. I mean, you know, someone like you might stumble upon Go RVing or whatever it is, but yeah, I mean, if you're about to buy, you need to think about that timeline. You don't want to own the thing and not be able to take it anywhere. And campgrounds do get busy these days, more so than a decade ago.
So you're looking forward then to a camping season that is really planned out and, you know, you're able to do according now that you have all this information, which, you know what, Neil, that's probably really common in the experience of an RV newbie too. So though, you know, Neil, thank
he
you so much.
He doesn't sound
for,
like a newbie anymore,
I know,
though.
No, and no, you know, that's why we had Neil on. We could tell you, you know, we always can tell the ones that are like doing their homework and doing their research. But okay, so Neil has lots more tips for the RV newbies. Now we know his story. Now we know where he's coming from, where, you know, where he started, where he is a year later. We are going to come back and Neil's going to walk us through his 5 tips for the RV newbie. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for part 2 of our feature topic, Dispatches from an RV Newbie. And in the last segment, Neil Potter kind of told us his story, how he got into RVing, how he got his family into RVing, about his disastrous first trip and all the great trips after. Now for this segment, he's going to break down 5 tips for RV newbies. So why don't you get us started? What is tip 1? It has something to do with learning all about floor plans and whatnot?
Yes, it's really just learn your RV. And it, we talked about it in the first segment, right? But just doing all of the research. And one of the things that I found was really useful, though, I was looking to do some upgrades to my RV. I wanted to hang some curtains and I was trying to do some measurements and all this stuff. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to email Jayco and see if they can give me some measurements. And sure enough, it was so easy. They sent me the full floor plans with all of the measurements of my exact unit. And I refer to it, right? I mean, a month ago, I was looking for a some sort of a bedding that could lay over my U-shaped dinette when it was down into a bed. And my thought was, gosh, how am I ever going to know what the size of that is? And I thought, oh, wait a second. I've got the floor plans with the measurements. And so I just pull that up on my phone. And that's another tip, by the way. So a lot of our smartphones, I know I have an iPhone, and it works really well on an iPhone, but I think that they all offer this type of a solution. I have a notes app, and I keep tons of notes on my RV in that notes app, right? So I've got everything from my measurements to my weights to I've got pictures of, you know, my fuse box. I have pictures of all, even my tire sizes, and I can't tell you how many times I pull that up to reference some quick information about my RV. So
and pivotally important for you, Neil, because you're storing it, right? So if you want to go, you know, buy some curtains or something, and you have to run out to your RV to measure it, that's quite an annoyance. So that's an awesome tip right there. If you can get your manufacturer, and thanks to the good people at Jayco for doing that for you. I don't know if everybody does that, but I would recommend
fantastic.
That. That's
and guess
never
what we're doing when we get the toy hauler. I want measurements.
Yeah. She wants measurements.
it makes total sense. It makes total sense. And it was so easy. I just went right onto their website. I mean, there was no special person I contacted or anything. It was just right to their website, contact us, sent my email with my details, and I think I had the floor plans in a day or two. I mean, I couldn't believe how quick the turnaround was on that. So anyway, learn your RV. Learn about the propane systems, the battery system. One of the things I recommend, and I did this on my unit, is install if it doesn't have it already, a lot of them have them, but install a battery kill switch on your RV, which is, or have one installed. which basically installs right at the battery, and it kills all power, 100% of the power to your RV when you're storing it. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you've got your carbon monoxide detector, the clock on the radio, and little LEDs here and there. They're constantly they have power supplied to them if you have no way of actually killing the power. So that was a nice little quick upgrade that I made. Just bought a battery kill switch off of Amazon.
Love that too.
So yep. You did that yourself, Neil?
I did, yeah. And yeah. It was pretty simple. I mean, if people aren't comfortable with batteries, and I would recommend having somebody do it for them, because if you do it wrong, you could possibly harm yourself or your RV, but you know, it's a pretty, I'd say 2 out of 5 stars on the do-it-yourself right. rating. Right?
2 out of 5 like hammers.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So yeah. Did you, you know, you're really emphasizing the need to learn your RV and kind of study it a little bit and all the different systems. Did you do that over the course of the winter when you couldn't RV? Like, or is this what happened pretty much over the course of the past year? You slowly got more and more comfortable with it.
Yeah, so it's a mixture of both. I mean, it's my personality is to research things even before I buy them. That's just my style, right? And people are different. And some people they don't want to put all that research in. They just want to go buy, and that's cool too. For me, I do a lot of research. I like to be very well informed. Some would say over informed, right? So, but you're right. You do learn about that stuff as you go, right? Even things like with your propane system, you know, turning your propane on slowly versus just cranking it on really fast like you do at your barbecue. You learn that stuff as you go, and just remember it.
We do not believe you can over research. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like the driving themes of the podcast is like the more you put into researching your purchase, your vacation, whatever it is, the more fun you're going to get out of it in the long run.
Now, yep. Something, you know, Neil, number two, your second tip, you know, you really were emphasizing to us a lot of the modifications that you made early on. And I think that was something that stood out to me because for us, it took me a while to start personalizing our rig. It sounds like you really dove right in.
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I dove right in. Actually, I have done a lot of my comfort and convenience modifications from using it. You know, I don't remember which college it was, but there's some college out there, and this is just a story I heard. I could be totally making it up, but it
works
for the
story.
But some college out there, I was told that they didn't install sidewalks on their campus. They waited for students to walk where they wanted to walk, and it would actually wore out the grass, and that's actually where they installed all of their sidewalks. And that's kind of how I've looked at it with my comfort and convenience modifications, right? So the first few trips that we went out on, I found we were loading up our couch with all of our stuff. I mean, just, you know, jackets and bags, and eventually there's no place to sit, right? And I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if we had a place to hang things, you know? And that's not something that I wouldn't have purchased hangers or hooks or anything like that ahead of time, because I didn't know that I needed it, right? So command strips. I found on Amazon, I found a package of command strips that they were outdoor. There's an outdoor model of command strips that you can get that are designed to handle high humidity situations. And so I bought those. I thought that would be good inside the RV. And I hung those up in areas where it made sense to put up strips. And it's been awesome, right? Now we actually have a place to put all of our jackets and our bags and our keys, and now we have a place to sit down, which is a luxury. Wire shelving inside of our cabinets, you know. First few trips that we went on, I found that our spices were banging around and our olive oil spilled, so that's what sort of led me to, I think it was the Container Store. I got some really nice clear containers that using the measurements that I got from the floor plans that Jacob sent me, I've got perfect fitting containers that fit right inside my shelving, and I've probably doubled my storage from that. And What else have I done?
These were so many things that Stephanie's done too.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the hooks for the jackets were totally, that came out of the fact that you realized everything had to go somewhere, right? Everything's getting dumped. Right, and you're like, oh, at home we have a place to put things. The same has to be true of the RV. Now, you also, number three was, you know, you're being very adventurous doing this with young kids. And some, you know, people can say, oh, people do it all the time. But, you know, I feel like it's
people
a lot.
People also decide not to do it all the time.
Exactly. Sure. People also give up on their passions, you know, very often when they have kids, because it's just harder to do things with little ones. So in what ways did you accommodate for your kids in the RV? How did you help them be more comfortable in the RV?
Yeah, so one of the mistakes we made was on that first trip when it was really cold out. My son, who was 4 months old, we brought a pack and play, and he was just right there on the floor in this pack and play in the middle of the RV, and that was a mistake because we don't have a Four Seasons coach, and he was right there on the ground for the most part, right? I mean, we put blankets underneath them and everything, and it was really chilly. So what I've done since then is I bought a nice little baby gate from Babies R Us, and I've affixed it on the bottom bunk, tight enough to where I've got a makeshift crib. You know, it's just a baby gate that encloses the bottom bunk. And my son loves it in there. I mean, he doesn't, he's used to sleeping in a crib in the house, because obviously he's so young, and he doesn't even try to push on it or anything like that. And it's even, it's the bottom bunk too. So he sleeps far more comfortably now that he's actually in an area of the RV that's designed for a person to sleep, you know, cause there's some padding there to help keep him comfortable. And so that has worked out
and
really
you
nice.
Gained some floor space back.
Yeah, I got some floor space back. Exactly.
And everybody's so much happier when you accommodate your RV for kids sleeping. That was something that we took really seriously in the early years and did what some people might, you know, call ridiculous things to make sure that our kids were in comfortable sleeping arrangements and would sleep through the night, and therefore we
like
would
strapping two cribs to the top Toyota Highlander
when we had the pop-up.
And then folding down the dinette table and putting those cribs into the pop-up.
Kills
me. I never took a photo of it.
And do you guys remember that accomplished feeling that you got the first time when it was just the two of you sitting in your RV and your kids were fast asleep in the RV and you realized, wow, we can do this.
That is the experience.
I remember.
It's the best.
For the
it's
young
the best,
parent, man. For the newbie with kids, that's the moment where you go, this was worth it. This is awesome.
We were sitting around the campfire on our very first night and that trip was a disaster in a lot of ways from start to finish. Just like we didn't know anything about our pop-up.
Sure.
It was, a lot of the same stuff you're saying. But it didn't matter. We walked away thinking we sat around the campfire and the kids slept. Like, it was unbelievable. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Accommodate for those kids.
Yeah, we found that our kids sleep through the night. They've got no problem sleeping there. We have a little white noise app on our phone. And you know what? We probably don't even need that. But we put one in the back there. That way, you know, if Melissa and I want to watch TV or something, it's just a little bit of background noise. But yeah, what a cool accomplished feeling when you go from the first experience that I had, which was a total disaster, crying all night, just nobody sleeping, to, you know, I mean, two trips later, put him down, he goes to sleep the very first time and sleeps throughout the entire night. And you know, we're free. Kind of free to kind of enjoy the campfire and what, you know, it's amazing.
I just thought of something from our forum. We had somebody in a very similar position to you with a couple little kids, and instead of, you know, they didn't go purchase the RV, they went and rented a cabin. And we sometimes say that, hey, go check it out, go rent a cabin, see if you like it. And it was a disaster, you know, for all the reasons, the kids up at night, all that stuff. And now I wonder where they're at with that whole thing. Like, you had that disaster, but you were stuck with the RV, you know? So so you plowed through it to get to the reward. Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe it's almost not the best advice to say, hey, go rent one or go rent a cabin, unless you really tell people that first trip can be tough.
That's a really good point, Jeremy, because if my first trip was a rented RV, I would not be an RV owner today. Because it was a tough, tough trip. And so maybe that's one of the biggest takeaways, right, for the new RV guys is, hey, there's a learning curve. And you know, we're talking about learning when you have young kids too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's what made it so much more difficult for us. I mean, if it was just the two of us,
every setback is a major problem. Like if it's just the two of you, you'd be like, oh, we're at the side of the road. Let's put on some music.
Exactly.
No big deal. Like, let's have a chat. Like when it's the kids, chatting isn't fun anymore.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So we mentioned number four. We mentioned a little bit in the previous segment, but you really said to these RV newbies, plan ahead, right? Do your planning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we probably don't have to hash on that one too much more because, I mean, but it is really important to point out. The one thing that I do want to mention, though, is have a checklist and actually use it, at least for the first few times, especially, right? Because I can tell you, you know what, probably every single trip I've been on now in the past year, I do run through that checklist, and it's annoying. Oh, the last thing that you want to do is to when you want to drive away and your kids are like, oh, are we there yet? And you're like, no, we haven't even left yet, right? The last thing you want to do is to read through a checklist because it seems so counterproductive, but it's not, because every trip I've been on, there's one thing. There's always one thing. Maybe it's big, maybe it's not, but there's always something that, hey, you know what? I forgot this. Let me go run in and get that, right? Even if it's something like sunglasses, right? That's something that you're going to want when you're on a vacation. And so I do, in that same app on my phone, I have a checklist, a departure checklist. Man, I sound like such a dork right now, but
no, not to our audience. Not to our audience. Stephanie occasionally forgets her entire wardrobe.
Oh, it's only happened twice. No, I did never
forgot
no,
my it pants, only happened my once. Shirts.
The second time it was just a part of my wardrobe. I'm too That's worried funny. About everybody That's, else. That's my problem.
Let me say something about the wardrobe thing. I'm just such an idiot. I do this every time. So one of the cool things about having an RV is that you can take your clothes and you can bring them outside on the hanger and put it in your closet in the RV, and that's so nice, right? No one wants to have to pack up all their bags and care about the weights and all this stuff. Well, for whatever reason, I every single time I pull my clothes off the hangers, I walk out to the RV and think, dang it.
I don't have any hangers.
I don't have
here.
Any hangers. I do it every single time. And so anyway.
You need to have a post-it on your closet. Do not take clothes off the hangers.
Yeah. I mentioned one thing here in my notes about planning ahead. And this is really actually more retroactively, not necessarily proactively. But Google Maps has a thing called My Maps, google.com/My Maps. And it allows you to store destinations and trips and everything. And if you're into this kind of thing, what I do is every trip that I ever go on, I actually log it on a map called RV Vacations. And it's just really nice at the end of the year to see not only the pinpoints of where you've gone, but I even store the route that I took. And it's really neat to see all those miles that you've driven to go on those vacations all in one map. It's kind of cool. So, you know, if you've never heard of Google My Maps, it's a pretty fun tool.
I think some people over on the forums have mentioned that they really like that too.
I wish we'd
so,
done that over
yeah,
the years.
And we haven't, but it's pretty cool to look at other people's maps. So
Number
five, your last tip for RV newbies coming out of one full year of RV ownership. You know, you really want to encourage everybody to enjoy lots of different types of camping experiences. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I was buying or researching the RV, it was really for my family, and that was it. And I didn't even take into consideration that when you are an RV owner, there are lots of reasons to use an RV. And so, you know, we've even, my wife and I took a couple friends and we went out to a concert up in Washington. And I called the venue and I just said, hey, I'm going to have an RV attached to me. Is that going to be okay? And they said yes. And so we brought the RV up and it just made the concert experience so much more fun because we went up there early and we hung out inside the RV. Whereas everyone else, you know, they got to go inside the venue and buy their $9 beers and everything, right? Where we just got to hang out inside the RV and then after the concert, we got to just relax inside the RV and let everybody, you know, get out onto the roads. And we just got to relax. And I take my RV every year. Well, I plan to every year. I did it my first time this year, but I'm a big Dave Matthews Band fan, and I go out to the Gorge every year, and I see the Dave Matthews Band play. And so that's a trip that I go on with just friends. And that experience is just completely different than the family experience. And so the thing that I want people to remember is that RVs have lots of uses. They're not just for family vacations. I mean, they're great for family vacations, and we have a lot of fun on our family vacations. But think about guys' trips. We've even talked about some of my buddies in the neighborhood here. We've even talked about I could host a poker night inside the RV.
Great, right? Idea. You're inspiring me, Neil. Because been 7 years, and we've never done an RV trip, you know, to see a band. I've never done a guys' weekend. You've never done a girls' weekend.
No, we talk about it a lot.
Poker game in the RV. I mean, you're inspiring me. This is great to hear. You know, because we talk about it all the time. Like, oh, there's all these other things we could do, and I don't know what's stopping us. We have to do them.
You just have to do it. And you know, I mentioned a couple months ago, you guys were live on Facebook, and I had mentioned something about how you guys, at one point, you got to leave the kids at home and take it out with just the two of you. And I can't tell you how great that is. I mean, and Melissa and I have done it one time. We had grandparents in town. Our kids' grandparents were in town, and they agreed to watch the kids for a night. And it was one night. But boy, it was just so relaxing and just a completely different experience. I mean, the idea of going out, we went out to Silver Falls in Oregon, which is a really great place to hike. And we went out there with no agenda. I'll repeat, no agenda, which is very rare, right? Versus when you've got the kids, it was just relaxing. Getting up in the morning on our own time, making breakfast on our own time, going out on a hike, not really worrying about how long the hike was, and you guys really have to do it, even if it's just for one night. It really is worth it.
24 hours without the kids, 24 hours hands free is like a week. Without the kids, in a sense,
exactly.
You know,
it's a multiplier. Exactly.
Yeah, that time is golden.
All right, sounds dreamy. Oh, Neil, thank you so much. I had this feeling. We both were like, you know, we definitely want to connect with somebody who has had 1 year of camping. And just thank you so much for all of your participation, you know, on our various, like between the forum and the, you know, on social media. It's been just a pleasure to sort of see little pieces of your story unfold. And, you know, we are just very excited to see what your second season of camping brings you.
Yeah, I can't wait to be back on the show at some point soon.
Well, and thanks to you guys too, right? I mean, it's really, I mean, you guys do this every single day, and so it starts to become what you do, and I just it's important for you guys to remember that what you're doing truly does have an effect on people, and I'm a perfect example of that. I mean, I truly was in the market. I found RV Family Travel Atlas. And all of a sudden was an owner, right? So you guys affected not just me, but you affected my whole family, right? So that's a big pat on the back for you guys, too. So thanks to you guys.
Thank
Checks
you.
Checks in the mail, Neil.
I know, right, Isaiah? We're going to, like, have to include Neil in our
really,
marketing
no, we
campaign.
Really, we really do. We really do appreciate that. We say that all the time. It's great to get that feedback.
Well, so, it was so great talking to you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Neil.
Have fun camping.
Yeah, if you guys are ever out in Oregon, reach out to me.
Absolutely.
Oh, you better betcha. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 117 of RV FTA, Dispatches from an RV Newbie. And thank you so much to Neil Potter from out there in the great state of Oregon, which we might be visiting next summer.
Oh my gosh, stop! Just it dropped, is way too early to just, be giving away no, confidential information.
Just drop that one out there for you.
All right, well, first of all, you know, Neil emailed us and told us that he had bought his first camper and that he'd been listening to us, and he thanked us for that inspiration. And I just want to reiterate with our listeners, we love those emails, the I just bought a camper emails. They're probably the highlight, right, of our week when we get them.
Yeah, so keep those it's coming. An exciting Let purchase, and we just think it's a worthwhile purchase. We think it's a life-changing purchase. So, yeah, we do love to get those emails. Now, we do have some other podcasts out there, so you want to make sure that you tune into Camp Like a Toddler this week. Stephanie, what has Wes got going on as feature topic there?
Can you spare a square?
Can you spare a square?
It's all about the toilet paper.
How to drop the toilet paper roll in and blame your brothers.
Yeah. It's going to be complicated, like what to do when you drop the toilet paper in, and tips for not dropping the toilet paper in the future.
He felt really bad.
Yeah.
Because he realized that we didn't have any more.
So he's just going to work through that on the can you spare a square.
I had to go over to the camp house bathroom and like wad up some toilet paper and carry it back for the night.
But that's okay.
It's
not stealing because we pay to use
the next morning. Well, that's true. But in the next morning,
we don't ever use the bathhouse.
Some Thetford Aqua Soft. So soft, too.
Can you spare
now, Men in Their Rigs, there's a big episode this week. Do you know what's on Men in Their Rigs?
No.
Well, Stephanie doesn't listen, so she would know. Over on Men in Their Rigs, they're doing the 100 greatest flashlights of all time.
Oh.
They're going to review the top 100 flashlights ever made.
I think Carrie Cox's husband is finally going to join
me on
that one, right?
He's going to be co-hosting on this one. We're going to go all the way back to Da Vinci and Ben Franklin.
Yeah, we're
going to
finally invite on Carrie's Mr. Sister to talk about flashlights because we hear he has a common obsession with you.
Yeah. And on the Cranky RVer podcast this week, they're going to be doing their Sewer Hoses of the Year Awards, which is an annual show where they rank the best sewer hoses.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk about how to get them so clean that you can drink out of them.
Ew, stop. Now I might have to edit that out. That's just
what I want to know out there. I want to do a poll with all of our listeners and see that, and mostly it's the men that did dump the tanks, but not always.
We always get the emails.
But I want to know, anyone out there, whether you're a man or a woman, do you wear sanitary gloves when you dump the black tank?
What's the percentage
I've never seen it. I don't think you've seen people use them.
And
at
I'm going to say something you want to hear. I'm going to tell you that I feel like I see motorhome owners using sanitary gloves.
You can afford a motorhome. You can afford sanitary
It's like the fancy folks.
I mean, should I be wearing sanitary gloves?
I've had that thought. Like, I think I only
see
people
I'm so accurate. I really don't get any of the stuff on me.
I don't know. You know, for some of our new listeners, because every single episode we have new listeners, they need to know these are not real podcasts.
Theo was helping me hook up the black tank stuff this time, hook up the sewer hose when we first got to D.C. this past weekend. And when I opened the chute, a little bit of stuff dripped out, right? I can't remember exactly what happened.
And he came running in,
He's like, I'll be right back. I gotta tell Max.
Oh, he came running into the camper.
He saw some stuff drip out of the
black
tank.
And he was describing it, and the other two were sitting there like it was story hour. You know, like, whoa, you saw it, you know.
They saw the stuff.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. You know what else is a big deal? That you guys are listening to RV Family Travel Atlas this week. Thanks so much for listening.
And
it's also a big deal that we get to say thank you every week to Progressive for sponsoring this show. Adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out there on the road seeing the sights. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV to learn more about why that car insurance and that RV insurance and that boat insurance is a big deal.
We gotta get Progressive to sponsor Camp Like a Toddler.
I know. I think they'd be interested in it. They want kids to start learning about good insurance from a young age.
I think that Wesley worries them because they don't.
They don't
just don't know what he's gonna do next.
He's a wild card. All right, folks. See you at the campground.
See you at the campground.